Dear family, to be able to understand the gospel today, I think is so important that we see the context of what Jesus is teaching his disciples in this whole chapter. This chapter begins, by the way, with the teaching about holy marriage, and Jesus saying that marriage is forever. It's a covenant, a coming together to become one, and that was God's intention from the beginning. After the Lord teaches them that, the children come to Jesus, and you know the disciples thought they're bothering him. He's too important. He has big things to do, and the children are a nuisance, and they want to send the children away. And it's then that Jesus gives us this beautiful teaching: let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Then Jesus goes further and says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And then the Lord took the children and embraced them. This is an amazing teaching now for the disciples. What is this? We have to become like children to enter the kingdom of God. We thought the children were just to be taught, to be trained, to be guided. What do they know about anything? And now the Lord is telling us, you have to become like them. There has to be a profound transformation to become childlike in reference to God, meaning we have to let ourselves be guided, be trained ourselves. We are just beginning in this endeavor. Be open of mind and heart as the Lord leads us into the kingdom. Then the next teaching in this chapter is the encounter with the rich man who asks this wonderful, wonderful, important question: what do I have to do to enter the kingdom, to inherit the kingdom of God? Good question. I hope we all are endeavoring to understand, what are we supposed to do? And then he goes off to say, you know, I have practiced my faith. I have done everything right as much as I can. And if he's saying the truth, he's a pretty amazing young man. He's honored his parents. He's never stolen. He has never committed any adultery, and on and on. But the Lord tells him, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And this young man was astonished and saddened, because like it happens to all of us, we think that if we do X, Y, and Z, if we, in other words, do certain things that God tells us to do, then we are okay. We are heading to the kingdom. And the Lord is saying, it's not about doing X, Y, and Z. It's about letting your whole life belong to me. Give me yourself. Give me your heart. Do you see the connection with marriage? Marriage is not just doing X, Y, and Z things together. It's coming to a unity of life with one another, belonging to one another truly forever. Well, coming into the kingdom, therefore, is much more than just what we can imagine of a human marriage. We're marrying God. God is marrying us. Now, I don't just do things for God. I give my whole self to Him gladly. All things, everything, my time, my resources, everything belongs to the Lord. Not just theoretically, but in a real way. I'm going to follow Him. This poor young man lost the opportunity of becoming a disciple, of having the true riches that is to belong to Christ. But even the disciples were astonished at Jesus' teaching here. And they said, then who can be saved? They are really concerned. This seems pretty radical, and indeed it is. And therefore the Lord says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. If we just allow the Lord to come into us, He will give us this love for Him. He will do it. We will fall in love with Christ in such a way that we will be happy to just trust Him and love Him and see everything else in accordance to, is it pleasing to Him? Does it give God glory? My whole life now is changed by this encounter. You see, our faith is not just doing things. Our faith is an encounter with God in Jesus Christ that totally, completely changes our life in a love affair. That's why the martyrs were happy even to go to martyrdom for love of Jesus. This is divine love. It's a fire that consumes from within. We need to pray for this, desire this, because it's ever growing. I hope it has begun with all of us. Otherwise, probably we won't be here, right? But it has begun. There's more and more of this fire of love that the Lord wants to give us. And then after the rich young men and saying this teaching that we have to give all things, the Lord begins to say what He's going to do for us. He is now, for the third time, foretelling His death. They are going to Jerusalem, and this chapter tells us that the disciples were afraid because they knew that they wanted to kill Jesus, and they were with Him. They were going to also be threatened. And the Lord says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him to the Gentiles, and they will mock Him and spit upon Him and scourge Him and kill Him. And after 3 days, He will rise. Jesus has just said this, and James and John now come to Him. This is the gospel we heard today. And they're asking for a position of importance in the kingdom. It seems to me like they were not listening. It seems to me like they were going to Mass, but they were somewhere else. And they just missed the whole point. Imagine the sorrow in the heart of Jesus. He's explaining what He's going to go through. And these two, who are His beloved disciples, His closest ones, the ones He needs to entrust with the kingdom, they're asking for positions. Now, before we become too hard on them, realize that Jesus had said several times, and He will say it again pretty soon in the same chapter, ask for whatever. Even if you want to move a mountain, just say it and it'll happen. But every time Jesus says that, it's in the context, it should be understood that you are asking what is pleasing to the Lord, that you're asking because you love Him and because you want to better love Him still. You want to really do His will. You're not just asking for things like the old man would do, I mean, before conversion. Now what you want and what you pray is for God's desire to be accomplished. That's what love is all about. So they were praying, because praying means to talk to Jesus. They were praying, and they were asking Jesus for being in the right and on the left. And, well, perhaps that's what we do too. You know, all mothers, I think, pray that their children may get good grades and that they will get an important profession. And we do pray for ourselves that our businesses are successful. that we do great things. As a matter of fact, even Mother Teresa prayed, let us do something beautiful for God. Let us do something great. So maybe they were praying in that context. You know, we want to do something great with you. We want to be there with you in your right and your left, in your kingdom, so that we can help you. But still, they were missing the point. Because it was time to think about what Jesus is saying. We are going now to Calvary. It's time to pray for courage. It's time to pray for love, to endure. It is time to say, Jesus, you love us so much. I pray that I will be there with you in those hard times, in those trials that are to come. Teach us to do that. Give us the grace to do that. In other words, prayer only makes sense when we have first listened to the Lord. Let us be attentive. Let us have the mind and the heart of Jesus. Let us first in our prayer, notice when Jesus taught us to pray, he first said, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I glorify you, Lord. I honor you. May your name be holy. May your kingdom come. We want to do your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Only then, as we have first listened, acknowledged, realized who the Lord is, then we pray, give me the daily bread, and we go on. In other words, prayer only makes sense as we listen to Jesus and as we respond to what He has said, because He's the Lord. And what we want to do is to respond to Him. And that is what really pleases the Lord. My faithful and loving daughter or son, thank you for listening. Thank you for opening your heart and your mind to this mystery of the kingdom that now I'm revealing to you. Are you willing to let go of all your attachments of your own life, to lay it down for me, to go with me to Calvary? Do you understand what life is about? Like all the kings of this world, Jesus says, they lord it over people. They want to be served. They command taxes, retribution. But it should be different with you. The Son of Man, that means Jesus, came to serve and not to be served. And to give His life for all of us. Would you do the same? Would you spend the rest of your life serving, loving your brothers and sisters? Sometimes we are tempted by the world to think, I'm always giving in my family, I'm always forgiving, I'm always loving, I'm always doing the chores. Gee, it's not fair. But you're being like Jesus. You're living to love and to serve. You're not keeping count. Well, He did these things for me, so I'll do that, but no more, because we have to keep even here. That's a business. That's no longer love. Love doesn't keep count. We do it, you know why? Because we know Jesus. Because Jesus is abiding in us, because we are receiving His grace, His love. We're moved by what He has done for us. And so we do it to those we live with. We do it to the people we work with. We do it to everyone, even our enemies. That is the amazing transformation. This is the amazing work of God. This is Christianity. And of course, not even the disciples understood this, much less could they do it until Jesus, in that infinitely loving act of love, that is giving Himself on the cross, broke the power of Satan over us, broke those chains, and sent us the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us interiorly these truths and convicts us of sin and moves us to holiness. And therefore we have the power to live this foolishness of love, which is Christianity. For men, for women, for everyone, this is impossible. But Jesus died on the cross and is risen and has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can walk with Him and love this way. Hallelujah.